They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
He can make it. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Launches one. Deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh, my goodness. Curry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name is Nathan. Joined on this late Wednesday night by Mr. Joseph Agusti, as always. Joseph, how are we doing tonight?
Not bad, Nathan. Action-packed episode today. Looking forward to it.
Yes, but how was your Victoria trip, minus the one thing we won't talk about other than before that? I guess I haven't really talked to you about it.
It was fine. It was good enough. I got to see some cool things. Went to Souk. I like Souk. Went to Sydney. I like Sydney. Stayed in a nice hotel right next to apartment buildings. Watched the Four Nations, you know. Nice little vacation till the very end, but alas.
What were you over there for? Just vacation?
Just family day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I would have came and joined you, but I had been to Victoria the past like 4 weekends or 3 of the past 4, and I was just like, I don't want to do any more.
You couldn't mooch a free ferry off of us this time, so you didn't think it was worth it.
No. I just didn't want to spend the gas money, really. I was just like, I gotta save. You know what? I'll see you over in Vancouver soon enough anyways, eventually. Action-packed episode, kind of, somewhat. We're going to start with the MLB because Mr. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is not signing an extension with the Toronto Blue Jays, at least during the season. His deadline is passed. We're going to talk about the failures on the Blue Jays side, most likely. But we'll see. And then we're going to continue with the division predictions. We're going to move to the AL West this time. I guess we'll probably go West Coast to East Coast, I guess is the way it's shaping up to be. Starting to do the Central next. And then we'll talk about the Four Nations, because what a tournament it's been so far. And we still got the finals tomorrow.
Fantastic.
And then we're going to talk about how the Four Nations is just absolutely beating the living shit out of what was the NBA All-Star Game and the NFL Pro Bowl. Because, my God, those sucked. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. gave opening day of spring training to the Blue Jays to be like, okay, you can sign. You have until this day to sign me. If you don't sign me, I'm not signing during the year. And that day has come and passed. He said they were not close to his offer, and now it's looking like he is gonna be leaving at the end of the year. Joseph, I think you have a lot to say on this, so go ahead.
Well, it's a colossal failure by the organization. He's gone. He's gone. They have now to compete with 29 other teams. He can go anywhere he wants. He's gone. So congratulations, Mark and Ross. I've defended you occasionally. I've ripped you occasionally. There's no sugarcoating this. This is a colossal organizational failure. Now, we don't know what Vlad was asking. Maybe his ask was ridiculous and he wouldn't come down from it. Personally, I wouldn't give him anything above 450. 400 to 450. But fact of the matter is, he's a right-handed hitting first baseman who isn't great defensively and is a horrible base runner. So his value is going to be somewhat limited based on that. So that's probably what Ross and Mark were thinking. The issue is, they had years and years and years to get this done. They could have extended him after his mediocre 2020. They could have extended him after his fantastic 2021, because that would have been before the major contract inflation that we've seen in the past few years with Ohtani and Soto. Because remember, before the 2019 season, I believe it was, Bryce Harper, one of the best players of his generation, signed for, I think it was $336 million. So after the 2021 season, I would think Vlad would have got something close to that. They didn't do it. He had a good, not great 2022. They didn't sign him. That would have been a good place to negotiate, I feel like. You still have a good season, but it didn't reach the high point. They didn't do it. Had a pretty mediocre 2023. Didn't sign him there at a lower part of his value. And then they had all offseason to sign him, knowing that he was going to walk if they couldn't get it done, and they failed. This is a colossal organizational failure, because Bo Bichette's already 1,000% gone. It's hilarious that even Sportsnet shills are essentially admitting that. And now Vlad's gone. The most hyped prospect in Blue Jays history is going to leave here in all likelihood without a single playoff win, let alone a series. The Vladimir Guerrero, Bo Bichette era is officially a failure. And there's no coming back from that. We sat through terrible 17, 18, and 19 seasons. We tanked those 3 years, didn't get anything useful in terms of draft picks, essentially high draft picks. Bichette was a second rounder. And for nothing. The best year, the year I had the most fun watching this team, was 2021, and they didn't even make the playoffs. This team is a failure. They spent some money in free agency, good for you. They didn't spend money when and where it counted. It's a failure, and they should be embarrassed. They're the laughingstock of baseball outside of like Oakland, or well, not Oakland, the Athletics, who don't even count.
And the Angels, I guess, but
at least the Angels have their players.
Well, soon to be traded, probably, you would hope, but yeah, this sucks. This really sucks. All the good work done this offseason, what seemed like because I started to convince myself this offseason was good. You know, Scherzer, you bring in Santander, the big bat you need. Jimenez, although I don't really think he
I could fits. See a bounce back there.
I don't think he fits the positional need the Jays needed or anything, the player need, but like I understand the pickup somewhat. It seemed like they were turning a corner and this team was gonna take a step. And now it just all fell flat for nothing because Vlad is going to enter free agency. He's
gone.
Going to leave.
He's gone. Steve Phillips did a big segment on TSN on Jay Onright's show where he said, yeah, it's over. They have no chance of bringing him back. There is now, the most likely scenario is they're going to be around 500 at the deadline and they're going to have a choice to make. And what will that choice be? Are they going to trade him or are they going to Ohtani themselves and lose him for nothing but a compensatory pick? Which very rarely ever turn out to be anything.
So here's, I guess, my question. Because if you're trading Vlad and Bo, let's say, at the deadline, you're getting minimal value compared to what they should be worth, right? If you had traded them, let's say, last offseason, they would have went for Halls last offseason. Now they're going to be on deals that you get the player for 2 months, maybe three if you go on a deep playoff run. And you risk losing them in free agency, their value is not going to be that good come trade. You might get a good prospect or two, but
and they usually do pretty well in their trades.
They do.
With the exception of Miles Straw, who now $11 million down the drain, but we've already been over that.
Yeah.
It's just you can't win.
If you're 500, do you even consider being like, okay, if we trade them, we're getting like, all right, prospects at best back, and our prospect pool still isn't that good. Or do you just say, fuck it, we have to go all in this offseason, just embrace the darkness for the next couple of however many years? And honestly, I kind of think they might, because Ross and Mark might just realize we're cooked anyways.
Yep.
Might as well push our chips in.
It's deja vu 10 years later. That's exactly what Alex Anthopoulos did. 10 years ago, in 2015 offseason, he said, screw it, I'm probably not surviving this new regime, which he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have been able to work with Shapiro and Atkins. He said that before. And he traded away all their prospects for Troy Tulowitzki, David Price. No, Tulowitzki had term left. And it worked out great because at the time, you had Bautista had 1 year left on his deal. Edwin had 1 year left on his deal and then would leave in a very similar situation. Older than Guerrero, but I don't know. This could be a scenario where, like you said, they just throw everything at the wall and hope they save their jobs. With Shapiro and Atkins, they're past the point of no return. There's nothing short of a long playoff run and a couple of extensions saves their PR. The fan base hates them. Like, if they do let's say someone goes in the level of excellence this year, they better hope that they're not going to be like they're not going to do like a Ross Atkins GM of the Blue Jays, because he'll get booed out of the building. Yep. And I don't totally blame him. I think Atkins has taken some unnecessary shit in his time. Failure. He's the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signed with the team almost 10 years ago. It was like July 1st, 2015 as an international free agent. They've accomplished nothing. They've had some bad luck. 2021, that was incredibly unlucky, but of course Marcin Rock didn't address the bullpen that year. 2022 took a bit of a step back, got embarrassed in the playoffs by Seattle. You overcompensated on your defense. 2023, you make it back to the playoffs, get humiliated by the Twins, one of the worst playoff series I've seen in my life. And then 2024, everything went wrong. Failure. They have a legacy of failure. I can't in good conscience look back on this era positively in any way outside of 2021. And they didn't even do anything.
What's it going to take for the Jays this year to like convince Vladdy? Like, is it an ALCS appearance? Is that like basically
you have
what we're
to think
at?
So.
Yeah.
Now remember, I heard that Anthony Santander signed. He was under the impression that Vlad would be here long term. And you know, they're from the same area. I think Santander is Dominican as well. So you know, he could fit in fantastically and be the Marcus Semien replacement that they never had. There's a non-zero chance he hits 40 home runs and he fits in great. Maybe the George Springer breakout happens that we've been preying upon for years. Maybe Andrés Giménez gets back to his 2022, I think it was, form. There's a lot of things that could go right. The pitching, I think, is still pretty good. They brought in Scherzer. You don't spend $12 million on Max Scherzer if you think you're going to be bad. I mean, there's a scenario where a lot could go right. Because going into 2016, I didn't think the Jays would be anywhere near as good. And they were. So, I don't know. Everything went wrong last year. They doubled down on their worst impulses with their contact and defense. They've corrected that a little bit this offseason, but really, you got to win a round or two if Vlad's going to stick around. And who knows? Maybe he changes his mind and at the All-Star break, he's like, you know what? I really don't want to leave. Let's get something done. I just don't think that's the case. I think he's gone.
I think he's realizing what he could get. Now, I want to talk about the reported contracts. The rumor going around was Vlad was asking for about $45 million per year on his next deal.
And that's too much.
And the Jays were around 38 and a half is what I heard. Maybe up to 40.
Man,
but
like, I dislike this front office as much as the next guy. They can't communicate to save their life. Like the Ross Atkins impromptu press conference, Vlad and his interpreter ate him for lunch because Ross was doing his usual word salad that nobody can decipher. And he's just digging himself a bigger, bigger grave. Like there's no such thing as close. Are you kidding me? What the fuck does that mean? But is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. worth $45 million a season?
No.
Exactly.
He's probably at 40, if I would say.
He only hit 30 home runs last year. I know his average was great. I know his on-base percentage is really good. He's really overrated as a fielder. He's not particularly good.
No, I agree.
And he's a horrible base runner.
Judge got 40 off his year.
Yeah, and he plays a more premium position.
He does play a more premium position, but got to consider age, I believe, in that too. Yep. Judge, I believe, was 30-year-old signing that contract, 31, maybe?
Yeah, Vlad's 26,
literally in his prime right now.
In theory, it's just the thing is with Vlad, he is a slow starter, right? Like, there's a non-zero chance that we have, it's a funny comparison, that we have an Elias Pettersson situation where you sign him for too much money, and then we all want to die a year later. But the thing is, this is baseball. There's no salary cap. You can spend however much money as you want, as long as you're willing to pay the luxury tax. Rogers' communications are loaded. They're literally, I think, the third richest owner in the league. Maybe even the richest if you include all their assets. Like, they can afford it, guys. I read today that the Miami Marlins have to add $25 million to their payroll. Otherwise, they're not going to get their competitive balance shit. Buy Springer. I mean, if that's what you got to do. I mean, like it's just an organizational failure. And I just look back to 2016 when Edwin Encarnacion went to the market and him and his agent misread the entire thing. The Blue Jays offered him 4x80, so $20 million a year, and he took a 3x60 in Cleveland and didn't do anything really the rest of his career. Vlad's younger. It's a different financial era. There's going to be more suitors. He's faster than Edwin ever was, and he's probably better defensively. But I do wonder if he's going to have a reality check. Because Pete Alonso just got his ass kicked in free agency. Really. Didn't get what he wanted. Rhys Hoskins never really got what he wanted in free agency. He's a right-handed hitting first baseman. You're not a shortstop. You're not a center fielder. You don't play a premium position. You are up and down at times. I can't justify giving him $45 million. Unless it's a situation like this where you need a PR win. And you didn't get one. And now you're going to have an egg over your face all season. There's going to be a dark cloud over the franchise in a year where you've already conceded that Bichette is gone, which I don't even think is necessarily a bad move. I think Bichette, I've said this before, I think Bichette's swing is going to age incredibly poorly as he gets older. But it's just a failure. I was so excited coming out of 2018 that we were about to start a new era. Remember Vlad's? It's just such a paradigm shift. Remember Vlad's home run in Montreal?
Yeah.
That was like a start of a new era. I don't think he played on the team that year. I think it was 2018.
No, he came the next year.
Yeah. But it was a start of hope is on the way, because 2017 sucked. 2018 was about to suck. 2019, they were tanking. We were fine. We were fine with being bad. But it was hope was on the way. Perennial success, because Vlad was so young. They manipulated his service time so they could get this 1 year. He could have already been a free agent. Bo was there. They had that great 2021. We thought we were on the up and up. And it's been a cascade of failure since then.
Kevin Biggio too, supposed to be the big three.
Well,
he was getting hyped
he was
up.
On a different.
He level. They were hyped up because they were all sons of major leaguers.
Yes, the thing is with Biggio, the second pitchers realized he can't hit a high velocity fastball. It didn't matter how good his eye was; they're just going to feed it to him every time because he can't hit it. Some hitters just have holes in their swing so large that it doesn't matter what their other skills are; they can't hit.
So
that's what Matt Chapman has.
Vlad, reportedly, according to David Ortiz, who he's apparently close with, his family is,
yes,
was asking for 13 by 585, which is $45 million per year. If I do the math, like 13 times 38 and a half, which is what the Jays were offering, like 500 on the dot base, 500.5.
Just too much.
So if you go up to 40 million, it's 520 over 13 years. I'm disappointed in the Jays not signing him, but if he was asking for that much, if the Jays were at like 500, I still think that's an overpay. I would have been closer to 450. If like that's what he was asking for, I'm fine, honestly. Not I rather them bank on him having a down year, being able to sign him in the offseason.
Yes, there is a, like, if you just take all the emotion out of it, you can totally understand their decision. Totally. He's inconsistent. He has not put together two straight great seasons in his career. Look at the numbers. The closest 2021 and 2022. 2022, he went down in every single offensive category and then was shit in the playoffs. So, I mean, I get it from that situation. The thing is, this team needed a win off the field after crushing off seasons year after year and failure on the field, and they didn't deliver. And really, I can accept them not giving him the big contract this year. This should have been done by now. This is a franchise that gave Randall Grichuk a 5-year, $52 million deal. That is the only major extension they've done. I'm not counting Bose because it walked him right to free agency. They haven't done anything else.
I can't recall anything. I will say
Berríos is like really the only one.
Yeah, that was a trade too. Like they traded for
him. And then they signed him afterwards. Yeah. And that's worked out great. They do well on the pitching side. They can't find hitters. And when they do find hitters, they screw it up.
I will say, if they're 500 and they decide, okay, we're blowing it up, we have to get assets for Bo and Vlad, and they trade them, do the full scale rebuild now. Trade all the guys who expire next year now. Get max value for them, because you're gonna be in a darkness period anyways. I don't think it will happen, because once again, like I said, I think Ross and Mark realize their jobs are probably gone, because Mark is a free agent at the end of the year. His contract,
they both are.
I don't think Ross is. I think Ross is next year. Weirdly enough,
I keep Mark over Ross. Ross has done a good job, at least with the ballpark.
Mark,
which I'll get to in a minute.
Spiro has done. Yeah, you said Ross.
I said I'll keep Mark over Ross.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they're free agents. They're probably like, shit, we're probably cooked here anyways. We got to like do something. So I don't think they will. But any smart GM realizes, okay, this team's going to suck. Let's start trading guys off now. Let's get good prospects now. Let's suck for however many, 2-3 years or whatever. Let these young guys develop. Maybe we can be something in the next 5 years. I don't know.
Here's my reason why I don't think that's going to happen. Toronto baseball fans are incredibly fickle.
That too.
Leafs fans will show up and fill the building and spend a shit ton of money for overpriced tickets no matter what. The Raptors will do that no matter what. The Argonauts always struggle because fans don't care. Toronto FC, for because it's soccer and it's the most popular sport in the world, they usually do well at attendance wise. When the Blue Jays suck, the fans don't go. Remember what it was like in the early 2010s? Jose Bautista had 54 home runs, and when he hit his 54 home run, his 54th home run was a home game in September. The season was over. There was 11,000 fans in the stadium. The Blue Jays just spent hundreds of millions of dollars upgrading that building, and they did a great job. I was there in July. It's beautiful. Do you really think they're going to spend all that money for it to be half empty?
No.
Knowingly, it's going to be half empty. Blue Jays fans, they care when the team is good. When the team is bad, they won't go. Last year, the team was expected to be good. Attendance was decent, but it fell off towards the end of the year when they really started to stink. I don't think they're going to do a full blow up. They might do a retool and try and build around the pitching and maybe Will Wagner and gang. I mean, like what can you do, really? I mean, I don't know. This is a no-win situation.
I agree.
It should have been done years ago, and they screwed up.
Anything else? AL West time or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at least we're not the Athletics.
That's
I can't believe they're not calling them the Sacramento Athletics. That's so
aren't
stupid.
they?
No, they're just the Athletics.
Oh, really? I thought they were
Because
technically.
remember back in the day when, fuck, who was it? New Orleans Pelicans when they were the Pelicans and not,
Yeah.
or I guess they were the Hornets at the time.
Bobcats, Hornets, whatever.
No,
I don't know how
they were the Hornets. Okay,
that time frame
they were the
confused me so
Hornets.
much.
They were the Hornets at the
Charlotte
time. Yeah,
Bobcats.
Charlotte. Okay, well, when the Hurricane Katrina hit or whatever it was, and they moved to OKC for a year, they were still the New Orleans slash OKC Hornets, or whatever the fuck they were.
Yeah, I that timeline confuses the hell
Yeah,
out of me.
just call them Sacramento for a few years. So stupid. I mean, God. Anyway, besides the
LS
point.
each doing 5-1, I guess. Do you want to start with yours?
God, this is hard. This is a hard division to do.
Somewhat, I agree, yeah.
I'm going to say the Athletics. I think playing in that ballpark the whole year with that turf and one of the hottest places in the world is going to be hard. I really, the Athletics are a joke. It's a shame it got to the situation. We had a real nice episode on it last year when they relocated and they spent some money. Luis Severino's there. Mason Miller's an excellent, excellent closer. They have some good prospects. I know Tyler Soderstrom's supposed to be pretty good. Zach Geloff. They brought in Gio Urshela. But really, this isn't a team that's really worth caring about right now because they're not trying. So I predict they'll be last, mostly because of what's going to happen off the field. Too much uncertainty, really. So I have them in fifth.
I haven't even seen their ballpark or anything. Like, if that's
It's
in the record.
honestly, just think of what the Blue Jays had to deal with Salem Field. They
Okay.
complained. They complained nonstop. And sure, they're major leaguers. They shouldn't be in this or fucking Arizona in Mullet Arena.
Yeah.
It's
Okay.
Bush League. It's Bush League.
I have the Angels in last going 72-90. I
Woof.
don't know. Trout, I think they gotta start taking some sort of step. Because aren't they like on a
Well,
100-loss team last year or
he's
close to
playing
it?
right field now.
Yes, that did get announced, yeah.
I'm very sad to see this happen to Mike Trout. It pains me that his
Agreed.
whole career was wasted. His prime is as good as anyone who's ever played the sport.
Honestly, this year is probably going to be the year that they somehow get in the playoffs. Do you see Anthony Rendon is out with a hip injury again?
What a
Like,
joke.
how many games
He
has
should
this
kill
guy played on
himself.
his contract? Like,
He just doesn't care.
he doesn't know. He said that. He's like, baseball is like my job. I don't really love it or
That,
whatever.
there's so many players who are like that, and that's fine. You still gotta try. He doesn't even put the minimum effort. Why didn't you get the surgery 3 months ago?
No, I agree.
A joke.
I hate why do you play a professional sport if you don't love it? Like, that's what I don't get.
Or you suck it up because you're being paid a shit ton of money and fake it. When I
Yeah.
volunteered at when I was growing up, I hated it. And I wasn't getting paid any money, so it was hard for me to suck it up. I could be a fucking janitor cleaning out horse shit for 24 hours, but if you were paying me Anthony Rendon's money, I'd yuck it up. I'd be in the greatest mood of all time. I could do fucking anything for that kind of money. but he just doesn't give a shit. So
I don't know. Yeah.
Also,
Angels.
He's also got a ring. So what does he need to play for?
No, I agree. Yeah. Angels last place. Don't really see much from them, like always. But wouldn't, like I said, maybe this is the year they finally figure it out. Who knows?
Well, they spent some money. I mean, they brought in Kikuchi. I'm taking it to my grave that Kikuchi's going to have an ERA over 5.
Oh,
this year.
100%. Because isn't that the thing that happens with any Angels free agent they sign? They
I
just
know.
Suck that next year.
God, they brought in Kyle Hendricks too. Good Lord.
Yep.
Is it 2016? Kenley Jansen. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Logan Ohapi. I like, and the Angels are fourth. So I'll just segue for me into that. I have them in fourth. God, Travis d'Arnaud is still playing. Good Lord. Nolan Chanuel is a good player. I actually like Ryan Noda. Rengifo does a few cool things. Moncada, the shine is worn off. But it's just not very much here. Like, their outfield is littered with busts of the past. Joe Adell, Mickey Moniak, Taylor Ward. Mike Trout's going to play right field. Honestly, I just DH him. At this point, he's not as fast as he used to be. Just put him out of his misery.
He's splitting time, right field and DH.
Yeah, I know. But, well, they have Jorge Soler, who can't play in the field.
Oh,
he has
yeah.
to DH.
Forgot they signed him, too.
He'll probably do well there. He's a good mercenary. I'm just so sad about Mike Trout because he was at a point in about 2017 where if he continued his trajectory, he would have been considered the best player ever.
Yeah.
At least best non-roided up player ever or best non-100 years ago player. His career trajectory was like something we had never seen. He's been in one playoff series and they got swept. It's so sad to me.
I got the Athletics in fourth for mine. 75 and 87. I think they're going to weirdly start, they're on the up and up a little bit. And they finished better than the Angels last year. I'm quite positive on that, pretty sure. Still not there yet. Probably going to hover around this mark, I would say, until they get into the new ballpark in Vegas, whenever that is. Which like
if that even happens, I mean, that might not even happen.
Yeah, what's going to happen in that scenario then?
Did you go back to Oakland with your tail between your legs?
There's no way they're letting them back in.
You pray that something else opens
or,
up and you go,
or,
you play in a football stadium for a couple
or Oakland's
years.
Like, sure, we'll finally.
It's not going
to
happen.
Build, like, we'll allow you to build a stadium or whatever, but you have to pay, like, all of it pretty much or some shit. I don't know.
That'll never happen. Bill, you think, what's his name? What's his name? John Fisher? You think he'll ever spend that kind of money?
No.
He fucked Oakland sideways for 20 years. He's not going to.
Where would they go after that? Charlotte? Nashville?
I mean, you would have to go and play in a football stadium. If Oakland, I mean, Minnesota used to do it. Miami used to do it. It's possible.
Well, the Raiders. The Raiders.
Well, that's different. That stadium's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
You know that BC Place is architecturally identical to the old Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minnesota, which held the Twins for a few years. It was a very poor stadium. It didn't work. The players hated it. But it could work.
I can't.
It'll never
anything.
Happen. It'll
yeah.
never happen. Better chance NBA.
I agree.
Maybe one day, but I don't know.
Third place.
Third. Kind of a tough one in all honesty. This is a weird division, really. There's a lot of mid. It pains me, but I have to go with my second team, the Mariners. There's just not enough offense on this roster. Just not enough. They have nice pitching. I'm a huge Luis Castillo guy. He killed us in the playoffs a few years ago. Logan Gilbert's great. George Kirby has a bright future. I saw Bryce Miller pitch live a couple years ago. Andrés Muñoz is one of my favorite relievers to watch in the game.
Don't forget Wu. Wu's good.
Yeah,
like
Brian
good
Wu.
He's
God,
very
he's,
good.
He's born in 2000, same year as me. Someone kill me. Trent Thornton, my goat, is on this team. Taylor Saucedo. Jesus. Hagen Danner. Oh, my God. These are the Blue Jays' scrap heap. Good Lord. Noted Canadian Matt Brash. I mean, their pitching is great. This could be a 2016 Blue Jay scenario where the pitching just carries them. I wouldn't put that out of the question. The thing is, they have no hitting. Who is their best hitter, Nathan?
Julio Rodriguez, but he has faltered the past two seasons.
Yeah, and they have Randy Arozarena, but he is so up and down. I mean, they have Victor Robles as the right fielder. I mean, good Lord. Jorge Polanco, what is this, 2021? Luke Raley? Good Lord. Cal Raleigh.
Who's their first baseman?
Luke Raley. Him,
oh,
or
really?
Donovan, him or Donovan Solano, who's almost 40 years old.
Yeah, that's... They, if they are in a playoff race, they should be trading for Vlad come deadline.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, if I'm a Mariner fan, I'm calling for Jerry Depoto's head as soon as possible. They don't spend any money. He makes stupid PR. Like, you think Ross Atkins is a bad speaker? He ain't seen nothing when it comes to Jerry Depoto.
I actually love Jerry Depoto in the beginning of the Mariners
Yeah.
rebuild. When he
Mariners
first
are
got
my
hired,
second team.
he was doing really well, I thought, and now he's fallen off.
They made the playoffs for the first time in a million years under him, and they won a round. They beat us. I mean, good Lord.
Not hard to do, but
Well, yes, it was, because we shot ourselves in the foot time after time. That was the year we should have won. Should have done well in the playoffs. But, like, I love Seattle. I think it's a beautiful place. Their ballpark is so underrated. It's beautiful. It's right on the water. It's really nice. Architect sight lines are great. It's nicer than the Rogers Center, in my opinion.
they're
Ben.
neighbors with your Seattle Seahawks.
Well, I used to park in their parking garage, the Seahawks, when I went there. I've never actually been to an NFL game. I want to do that one day.
I haven't either, and it's pissing me off.
Okay, we'll go. We'll go see the Seahawks lose this year. No, you don't want to see the
Win,
Seahawks?
win.
Okay. Win. Okay. Okay, Drew Lock.
Hey, that's Geno
Anyway,
Smith you're
yeah,
talking about.
right. Anyway, I want to see the Mariners do well. They're my kind of my second team. I've got a soft spot for Seattle sports outside of the Seahawks, but they're just in the mud. They're just so mid.
Yeah. I also have them in third. I have them going 82 and 80. I think they're pitching, like I said, like you got kind of basically all the same points too. They're pitching very good. One of the, probably a top five pitching rotate staff in baseball. Relievers, starters, whatever. I'd honestly maybe go top three outside of the Dodgers. I can't think of a team who's better. Can you off the top of your head? Like I
No.
can't. No. So might be the second best rotation and or just pitching staff in general in baseball. The offense terrible though. By God. My God.
So
They
bad.
how did they not address it this offseason?
And then it's made worse by the fact they play in a pitcher's ballpark.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, that's great. Your pitchers are great, but you can't hit, so it doesn't matter.
At least be like the Jays in this scenario then to just reload your team up on defense. Like what are we doing?
And that worked out so well. I mean, good Lord.
If you're just pitching a defense, shit, you could win around. You could win a round in the playoffs,
No, you
maybe.
can't. We can't win a round.
Okay, that's
But
the
we're all
Jays.
pitching in
This is the
defense.
Jays curse, Joseph. This is
Maybe, yeah.
Toronto. This is Toronto sports curse.
Well, Seattle sports curse is pretty lousy too.
Good point. But hey, no,
Mariners curse, we'll say.
yeah, say because Seattle, the Seahawks had a good stretch. Don't mention
Well, Kraken are in the mud. Supersonics are never coming
no, they're
back.
coming back, and I think
Oh,
that's why the
please.
Kraken aren't. Have you heard that rumor going around? Like the
I've been
Kraken.
he the Kraken or what?
Why they're like spending on this weird contracts because they're worried about
They're gonna
the
be
Sonics coming back
fine.
and they're gonna get like relegated to the fourth team again.
Fourth.
And they're just
I
not
think they're
gonna
ahead of the
draw.
Mariners. I think the Kraken are ahead of the Mariners.
They apparently they're just worried that the Supersonics are gonna like take
Maybe.
all the hype away from them.
I mean, they're not gonna relocate.
No.
But maybe. I mean, it's been a weird couple of years there. But again, people are expecting them to be Vegas, and that's just not realistic.
Second place.
Yeah, second place I'm going to have as I get back to my depth chart. I put the art in depth chart. I'm gonna have Houston in second place. As much as that pains me as a certified Rangers hater. They're just very balanced. Good rotation. Framber Valdez, I'm a big fan of. They got Luis Garcia, Lance McCullers is still around somehow. Christian Javier, best closer in all of baseball, Josh Hader. Christian Walker is about as good as a first baseman you could have found in free agency. Jose Altuve is still good when he's not here in trash cans. I like Isaac Paredes. He does a few things. Jeremy Peña, who's dating Julia Grosso of the Canadian women's national
Oh,
team,
right. I saw that.
which kills me. It just
I
kills
saw
me.
that.
It should have been me. There's some good players here. And they usually just find a way to astro it up. They're kind of like the Rays, where they just find a way. No matter what, through their bullshit, whether it's cheating or their baby ballpark they play in, I expect them to be good. I expect them to be a wild card team.
I'm not sure if I'm there on a wild. I haven't done my full predictions yet. I'm going division by division, so I haven't determined if they're a wild card team. They're probably right on the bubble, at the moment. I'm not sure if they get in, but I do have them second as well. I have them going 85 and 77. Gonna be interesting. No Kyle Tucker around. Alvarez is probably going to have to step up. Altuve is playing left field a little bit this year. We'll see how that goes.
He's too short. God, I don't know what they're thinking with that.
I do like the Zach Parades signing. Trade. It was trade, right? I believe it was trade.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah, I actually do like that pickup. I think he's going to mash at, I guess it's not Minute Maid Park anymore, is it? What's the name of it? They changed it.
I don't know. I was under the assumption it was Minute Maid.
I'm pretty sure they changed it, but he's going to mash with the Crawford boxes and left. He very pull heavy. He's going to hit it like, might hit like 35, 40 home runs, but not surprise me. I'm a little worried about their pitching. A little bit. Fromber's a free agent end of the year, is he not?
I think so.
Be interesting to see what he does in contract year. But other than that, yeah, the pitching is a little scary to me. Which is weird because I remember a couple of years ago it was like their pitching was terrifying, but here we are.
Well, Verlander was there, a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah. But yeah, second place for me, Rangers in first. I know you hate it, but I have them going 88 and 74. You can go over your little breakdown of them.
I hate the Rangers. I hate them. I hate them. I always hate them. That World Series they won never happened.
It did. I'm sorry.
No, it didn't. Their team is just really good. Eovaldi, DeGrom, Maley, John Gray, Kumar Rocker, if you can ever stay healthy. Bullpen's kind of mid. I know Chris Martin's decent when he's not singing for Coldplay. Jesse Chavez is still somehow in the league. Jonah Heim's a solid catcher. I think Kyle Higashioka is really underrated. Jake Berger's a really good first baseman. We all know how good Marcus Semien is. I mean, he's not going to hit 45 home runs again, but who cares? He's so good in every other facet. Josh Young has a good future. Josh Smith is an up-and-coming player. Evan Carter is great. Wyatt Langford, Leody Taveras, Adolis Megamind, Roided Up Garcia. I mean, Jock Peterson, who I've wanted the Blue Jays to acquire for years. There's just too many good players on this team for them not to be good. Agreed. Although that Adolis Garcia PED suspension is going to hit like crack when it eventually happens. Good Lord, he's got the Barry Bonds head going and everything.
Is that what happens when you take PEDs?
Your head expands and two other things shrink.
There's just too much went wrong for them last year coming off the World Series championship. Just too many injuries. And DeGrom's going to be back this year.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, well, him and Trout were just like the two healthiest players ever. And then all of a sudden, they just became the two most injury-prone players ever. Maybe you could argue Anthony Rendon is less healthier or a more...
Yeah, but who gives a shit about Rendon? He doesn't deserve our pity.
Yeah, so it's just sad to see. But yeah, I'm expecting a bounce back from the Rangers. Can't see them not making the playoffs this year. And this is just a weak division in my mind. Unless Seattle somehow figures out how to hit, which I just don't see. Or the Astros figure out a new cheating method and go on a run, then I think this division is theirs.
Yeah, I agree.
Shall we move on to the tournament of the decade?
This is awesome, dude.
This is like...
I was a tad concerned players and fans wouldn't take this seriously. Because full disclosure, in 2016 for the World Cup of Hockey, I was a total snob about it. I said it's not a real tournament. The gimmick teams are stupid. I still think they're kind of stupid. But I barely paid attention till the end or like the semifinal when Crosby was going on his crazy run. I didn't fully enjoy it for what it was worth, and I was kicking myself for not doing that when the NHL stopped going to the Olympics. This tournament, I was excited for it. I was hyped for months and months and months. We did our previews and such. I was hoping the players would take it seriously. I thought they would because they had all been clamoring for international best on best. It's exceeded even my wildest expectations. It has been fantastic every step of the way. Every game outside of the third period of USA-Finland has been electric and close. There's been fights. There's been drama. There's been goals. There's been classic moments. And tomorrow's game, I'm so excited to watch it. I haven't been excited for this game and for any game in so long. I can't wait. Think of how many new fans are going to get into hockey because of this tournament.
Yeah.
It's perfect. The NHL screws up a lot of things. This has been a masterstroke in every single way. They deserve their flowers for it. Gary Bettman, Marty Walsh, Bill Daly. Perfect. Just perfection. I've loved every second of this tournament. We waited too long for it. It's a great precursor to the Olympics in a year. Fantastic. Full marks to everybody involved, including the players who could have treated it as a joke or glorified All-Star game. Everyone deserves a big ups from me because this tournament's been perfect and it's been something I needed. I needed international best on best again, and they've delivered in every single way. So thank you, NHL and NHL players.
Yeah, let's go kind of brief game by game of the tournament, I say.
Okay, I'm about to get rated R here on you, Nathan.
Game one, Sweden, Canada.
Okay.
Holy shit, that first goal. Oh, my goodness. I think...
Ready for me to get rated R?
Okay.
I almost ejaculated when I saw that first
goal. I was just going to say, I think the whole country did.
I was losing my mind. I got to see Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, and Nathan MacKinnon on the same ice, and they connected on a goal the first time
and
they ever played together.
Don't even forget about this part, too. Makar would, like, passed it to McDavid first. Yeah. So it was like all the big four.
You can argue that's the most talented group of players to be on the ice ever.
Gretzky and Lemieux and Co.
Yeah, but they were playing with Plumbers back in the day.
This and, was like Russian, Oshua, the Russian, though, wasn't it? Or like 98, was it?
That was 87, you fool.
Was that 87? No.
Gretzky to Lemieux was 87.
I thought there was a time in like 02 when they played together too.
No.
Or was Gretzky retired?
He retired in 99.
Right, yeah. Gold. 98, yeah,
they
then
were,
I was thinking.
They were playing with Plumbers and cocaine addicts in 1987. But man, that first game, which good Lord, thank God Mitch Marner scored. But that first game, that first goal, I felt 12 years old again. Staying up or being in my grade 7 class and watching international hockey. Felt like a little kid. It's fantastic. Great first goal. Great way to start the tournament. And then later on, God, cheering for Brad Marchand. What an experience. What an experience.
He becomes so likable when he wears Canada jerseys.
I love Brad Marchand. You know, I've come to respect him so much over the past few years. This is someone I take on my team in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
This guy's awesome. He's also like, people have a misconception of him because he's a rat. He's like a crappy person. He's such a nice guy. Like every behind the scenes stuff he does, he seems like a lovely person.
I think like Canucks fans would like hate the fact if he signed there. But then like after a game, yeah. I think they would love him.
Fantastic.
If he got traded or whatever.
And nice play by Seth Jarvis to get that puck up to Braden Point, who's had a great tournament. Slick pass to Marchand. It's 2-0. We're chilling. Woohoo.
Yeah, then USA, the next game. Well, Marchand scores the OT winner. Crosby, 3 assists. That was...
Marner. You said Marchand.
Oh, Marner. Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Good Lord. The only time you'll catch me cheering for Mitch Marner. Thank God he scored that, because if he didn't and the tournament played out the same way, we'd be watching a Sweden-USA final.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I would say also like that Lemieux intro to start the game too with all the legends coming out and Lemieux's ovation.
Chills.
That was insane. Then you had Matthews getting booed heavily. That was hilarious.
Crosby
player of the game was unreal.
Because remember, he grew up a Habs fan.
Yeah.
So he has a special connection there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. I love Montreal fans. I was saying it a couple episodes ago. The league is better when Montreal is good. Habs fans are the best in the business. It's not close.
Then you move to the next day. U.S. goes off on Finland in the third period.
That was just Saros being terrible. It was pretty close until
Saros
the
being terrible and finished D falling short of expectations, which they should have, because they have Montempolo on their
blue line. He played pretty well.
He's been all right this tournament. I'll give him that.
Big right-handed.
And then Sweden, Finland, even that game was good. Yep. I don't think I caught
Thank
all of
God
it.
God, Finland won, because if they had lost in overtime, we wouldn't have made the final.
Yeah, that's
Thank
true.
You, Mikael Granlund.
Yeah. I will say that overtime goal, was Kempe not hooked?
I don't know. It's overtime. It'd have to be real egregious.
I could have sworn he got hooked and then like because of it, didn't get a clean shot off really and kind of got stuck on the net, and then Finland goes up the other way and scores.
Yeah, it's overtime. You'd have to assault somebody to be put in the box, as it should be in a tournament like this. Man,
which,
they're not calling anything.
I was going to say, does Canada have like two power plays total the whole tournament or
three.
Something? Yeah.
Three. They're one for three.
I'm like, I haven't seen them go in the power play.
I think the officiating's been fantastic this tournament.
I agree.
I don't really remember any missed calls.
There's been like a couple like ticky-tacky trips and hooks, but
Oh, come
like
on. I
they're
mean,
calling it
like,
like a playoff game, and
yeah,
I respect
just
that.
let them play. It's international hockey. Thank God it's not an IIHF tournament because there'd be 10-minute misconducts left, right, and center. We wouldn't have seen the Tkachuk brothers, Hagel, Bennett, and gang for the rest of the game after those fights.
Yeah.
Sidney
And then
Crosby would have been thrown out of the game.
and then we get to that game. So all the emotion, Montreal crowd's going crazy, booing the States anthem. That's a whole other conversation. Then they're all singing the Canadian one. Puck drops, we're ready to go. Second in the game, Tkachuk and Hagel are dropping the gloves. What the fuck?
Credit to Brandon Hagel because he gives up about 2 inches and 20 pounds on Matthew Tkachuk.
And
The
he wins
Tkachuk
that fight.
brothers, yeah, he did. He got the takedown. They only really lost the Bennett fight to Canada because Parayko fed Miller. Miller's such
No,
a bad.
no,
It's funny.
no.
Miller is such a bad fighter. But we'll get
M
back. We'll get into
Mil
that.
Hey, hold on. Miller fed himself. But yeah, we'll get into
Yeah.
that,
Well. Yeah.
actually.
Well, I mean, so credit to Hagel for standing up to the Tkachuk brothers because Brady kind of just runs around, but Matthew's a bully. He's a rat. He intentionally goes after people that are smaller than him. Brady will fight anyone because he's a psychopath. Matthew's a bit of a prick. So I was happy to see him lose that fight. Although I gotta say, these Tkachuk brothers, they're doing so much for the sport of hockey.
They are.
They got Stephen A. Smith to talk about it, and that's hard.
Yeah, he
And
hates hockey.
PK Subban went on Get Up or whatever it was and
Yeah.
went on a great all-time rant about it. He brought the All-Star game into it, and it was fantastic. I urge people to look at it. And then 7 seconds later, shot on Binnington, he saves it, gets a slight snow shower, nothing crazy. Or wait, hold on.
It wasn't even a snow shower, it's just
Okay, that was fight
intensity.
number three. I skipped the
Yeah,
Bennett fight.
you skip the Bennett and Tkachuk.
That's
So yeah.
probably the most evenly matched physical one, and Bennett lost, which is
For
fine.
context quickly, Brady was on the ice to start the game. He yelled at Bennett, who was on the bench, "Get out here, we're going next."
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, and then Bennett comes out on the ice for the draw and they drop him.
That's the thing with Tkachuk. He can get caught up in it and he stops playing. He does that with Ottawa all the time. That's how you get him off his game. You get him wrapped up in the emotion because he'll stop playing. He'll just run around. And he won his fight against Bennett. But at the time, if you were, say, these three players going to be off the ice, the Tkachuks and JT Miller versus Hagel, Bennett, Parayko, I take that 10 times out of 10. But
Now,
yeah.
I do want to say it quickly too, before this kind of goes over the whole tournament, I guess. You didn't like the Bennett pickup. Do you like it now? Because he's been very good for Canada this tournament, in my
Ah, oh,
opinion.
man, I don't
In the
know.
two games he's
I
played,
mean,
I
they
think he's
need
been
to
very good.
score. They need to score. They're not scoring enough. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I at the beginning I was like Tom Wilson. I was thinking Tom Wilson shouldn't be anywhere near this tournament. And now I wish he was on the team.
They've scored 10 goals in 3 games. The States have also scored 10 goals in 3 games, but you don't hear
Yeah,
anyone
but
complaining about their
what's the
scoring.
colossal difference between the two teams? Goaltending. But we'll get to that. But yeah, and then 9 seconds later after that fight, Miller's cross-checking Parayko, egging him on like the prick that he is. And Parayko's like, I don't really want to do this because he's not a fighter. I think I read that he only has one career fight prior to this. And then finally he relents and just feeds Miller. Now he's way bigger than Miller, but he just feeds him and feeds him. Then Miller does a huge wind-up uppercut and whiffs and hits himself in the face, knocking his helmet off, which was so funny. Pettersson loves that. I mean, it was great. Parayko just fed him. Miller, for a player who plays with so much intensity and that is, kind of big, kind of strong, he's such a bad fighter. Braden Schenn gave him his lunch money a couple weeks ago in his last game as a Canuck. So crazy that he's such a bad fighter.
I don't think it was his last
It
game, but I
was.
think it was the last game he scored.
I think it was his last game.
I think they lost the next game after, and then he got traded because they were, I think they went to St. Louis. Then they played.
I don't know.
Did they
He's just not a
play?
good fighter for some reason. It was kind of funny that in the game versus Sweden, him and Pettersson had their one interaction on the face-off, and that was it. I was
Yeah,
expecting a little more.
I watched that entire game. I'm like, all right, where's Pettersson? Where's Miller? When are they going to share the ice? I saw them. I didn't even see that face off. I didn't even see them share the ice. Like, it was kind of sad. They went St. Louis and then they won in Nashville and then they played in
Okay.
Dallas. So.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, like Miller got fed, so that was great. The building was hopping. Like hockey was the most talked about thing in the world. that day.
Yeah.
Or one of the most.
Obviously, the result wasn't great. That McDavid goal, well, though, holy shit, start the game. Oh, my God.
Drew Doughty, what a pass.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to catch him, McDavid, in full stride because he's so fast and he moves so quickly. Couldn't have been a better pass. Perfect. And he just flies by McAvoy, who looks like he's going in slow motion, and then roofs it backhand, which is hard to do from that angle to get that kind of elevation on a backhand. Owns Hellebuck and McAvoy. Too bad that he wouldn't get any. That would be it for the goal scorer.
I do want to say that you're going to like this. So my buddy posted the McDavid goal on his, just straight up to his Instagram, his main Instagram. He kind of does shit like this sometimes, but he posts it. So everyone's like commenting on it or whatever. And I just go,
shut
in
the
and
hell up. Good Lord.
No, I just go in and I'm like, Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
I called McDavid the Lord and Savior.
So good.
And he texts me after the game ended. He's like, dude, I have so much respect for you for commenting that, because he knows he's an Oilers fan. I'm not. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yes. I remember you talking about him. Like, it is, putting aside team loyalty and everything and rivalries, it's such a privilege to be able to watch him in his prime.
Yes.
Never saw Gretzky, never saw Lemieux, didn't really see Bure. Such a privilege to be able to watch it in live, because there's nobody more talented in the history of the sport.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Too bad that he hasn't won anything yet, but watching him play on the same team as Crosby is such a privilege. And screw you, Bettman, you're going to hell for denying us for years.
Yeah. Full credit to the Americans, though, I will say, in that game.
I'm not giving them full credit.
Binnington
has got to have that Gensel goal.
Oh, sure. But the second goal, I don't think that's a really good shot from Larkin. Empty netter.
You'd like a save.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good shot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't score enough, Canada. Don't get me wrong. Like,
Binnington
has to be
perfect.
And
that's also why I'm giving the States credit. They locked it down once they got the lead. They played so good defensively. It was just keep everything to the outside. Don't let
you know,
them get in the middle.
You know, Rick Tocchet was crying on the bench because he wanted to celebrate seeing that hockey that USA was playing.
And then Hellebuck was pretty damn good in that game. He didn't really have to do much in the third.
No.
It was early on where he just had to stand on his head, but
they couldn't break their shape.
Yeah, he was good. I'll get into this part actually after. But then Canada shifts to Boston. Canada versus Finland in the morning game, which probably should have been the matinee game.
Yeah, I just think it's too late.
Like you know what? Yeah, I get why they did, because they needed the States to have like a marquee matchup. I get it. But them switching the games would have made
it was
a total,
just too late.
Yeah, because then it would have, if say example, the States win in the morning, then Canada Finland is just winner take all.
Yeah,
you know that. But that was what a start for Canada. McDavid goal. What a shot. McKinnon steal or whatever goal. That was another good one. Point gets a rebound goal.
And we're chilling. We're doing good.
Yeah, and then McKinnon adds another one in the second. We're up 4-0. We got nothing to worry about. And then all of a sudden Finland mounts.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is going on? And
it didn't really matter.
People are like, oh my God, Binnington, what, like,
they were good chances.
He didn't really have a chance on any of them.
Like the first goal, it was Lundell. That was a perfect shot. Like, I saw like a slowed down version. There was like an inch between his blocker and his pad, and he got it by. Like
very similar to the Larkin goal.
Similar to like the knuckle puck on the goal against Sweden, where it was just a perfect shot. Now, would you like him just to shut the door? Yes, but they stopped playing. Canada stopped playing. That's not good. Sidney Crosby,
they
hero,
played Rick
Talk
at hockey.
Yeah, they did. Exactly. After the 4-0 goal, they stopped playing, essentially, which is stupid. Crosby had to bail them out. What a play. If that goal doesn't epitomize everything Sidney Crosby is as a hockey player, I don't know what does. Comes out of nowhere, destroys Mikael Granlund, gets up the puck, immediately focuses on the empty net, and perfect shot. Captain Canada saves them again. What a player, Sidney Crosby. He is, if Canada wins, is a front runner for MVP of the tournament.
I agree. Unless McDavid does something godly in the finals.
Yeah, or Binnington makes a 60 save shot.
No, Binnington will not win MVP. I assure you of that.
gosh, it's just watching this Canada team is so much fun. I mean, that McDavid goal against Finland, I urge people to go back and watch his 2017 playoffs against, I think it was Anaheim. He scored this goal where he's skating in the neutral zone, stops on a dime, leaves his man in the dust, and just snipes it. It was kind of similar to that. Perfect shot. Off the post and in, Lankinen couldn't see. Just excellent. It's just such a privilege to watch, really. And then second goal, MacKinnon finds himself all alone, perfectly placed. I was kind of iffy about MacKinnon's tournaments coming into this game because he only had the one power play goal. He played great. He's found great chemistry with Crosby. And, you know, I can't wait for the final. I need more from a few Canadian players. Mitch Marner, he had an overtime goal. Thank you very much. I need more from you. I need a little more from Mark Stone. I need a little more from the decor. Marchand, if he could get another goal, that would be great. They need some depth to show up against the Americans because it hasn't really shown up yet outside the Marchand goal. But, you know, this tournament isn't everything I could have hoped for, and it's been great. I haven't missed the NHL at all.
No, I haven't either. I will say your tweet after the American game about, like, the Tampa line or whatever. I actually thought the Tampa line was good that game, and I think they've been solid overall.
Let me just look up what
they haven't generated. Like, they haven't generated points wise. I do think they've been good.
So that was after the American game. I said that.
Yeah.
So remember, at this point in the tournament, they have exactly one depth goal, Marchand, and points had done nothing. So I made the comparisons to 2016 World Cup of Hockey, where Team USA built a team. They said it themselves. Tortorella must have said it 15 times. They were building a team to beat Canada. They brought Justin Abdelkader, Brandon Dubinsky, and a whole bunch of bums on defense. I think James Wisniewski was there, of all people. And they got their asses kicked. They went 0-3, lost to Finland, Europe, and somebody else. Got their asses kicked. Canada, right. I was a little concerned about Canada's roster choices coming in. I gave Brandon Hagel his props, but he hadn't done much. He really still hasn't done much. He's got chances, but he hasn't really finished. Sam Bennett, good for him. I still don't think I would have taken him, personally. We'll see how this last game goes. And Cirelli has been probably their worst player.
I'll say Cirelli's been the worst, yeah.
He was brought in solely for his defense. Like, we're not including Theodore. He's brought in solely for his defense, and he's getting owned in the faceoffs.
I will say, and I think I've said this to you, Marner has been terrible other than the overtime goal. He has done fuck all, and it's so annoying.
It's just a stylistic mismatch putting him with McDavid. They need the puck. Marner is useless without the puck.
I actually saw, like, a lip reading. I think it was after the first game, mate. And Mick Marner was like, what do you want me to do? Like, do you need me to go to the net? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know what you're going to do with the puck, kind of thing. Like, he didn't know how to play McDavid. It was something along those lines.
He needs the puck, and that's not going to happen with McDavid. He needs the puck in the neutral zone. He needs to make his own entries.
Yeah.
So
he's been terrible. Like, I'm going to say this, that I think I texted this to you. Third period of that States game, they were down 2-1. Somebody got it. I believe it was like Sanheim got the puck at the left point, like had a little bit of room. No States player really around him. Here's Mitch Marner standing over in the far right corner, not the left corner, the right one. So completely across the ice, straight legged, standing up, no stick, like on the ice, just like standing there for like a good second and a half, I would say. And I'm like, what are we doing, Mitch? Get to the fucking net or go get open in the slot. And he just stood there. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? No wonder you suck.
There is no player who lets media pressure and attention get to him more than Mitch Marner. The Toronto media eats him alive, similar in a way that the Vancouver media does with Elias Pettersson. He can't handle the attention. He can't handle the scrutiny. Last season in Toronto, the Leafs PR and media guys had to say to the media, leave Mitch alone. This is killing him. And the media left him alone for a few months, and then they lost in the playoffs, and it was back. But thank you for the overtime goal. That was a perfect shot, because if we didn't get that goal, we would have been screwed. I need more from you. You can drive your own line now. You're with the Tampa guys. You are the leader of that line. And that's what it should be. I know you're good defensively. I know you're not on the top power play unit. I need more, man. We're going to find out who the bigger choker is here, Matthews or Marner, tomorrow.
That's, well, we should just scratch Marner, because if we scratch him, then that means they have a Leafs player playing in Boston in a do or die game. And that means we win by default because it's in Boston.
Yeah, back to my other tweets, the one I made in the immediate aftermath of my first tweet, which you disagreed with. I like to bring up Soshi 2014 as a benchmark as much, often as I can when I talk about international best on best, because it's the last one where objectively it was the best on the best. There were no gimmick teams. Russia was there. They could pick whoever they wanted. On that Team Canada team in Sochi 2014, there was only really one player who caused controversy. It was Chris Kunitz because he played with Crosby.
I would say there's three.
What, are you going to give me Dan Hamm? He was the seventh defenseman.
I was
I
going to
mean,
say Dan Hamhuis. And at the time, I remember people were
Sam Lee?
questioning. Nope.
Duchesne?
Nope.
Nash?
Nope.
Okay, who?
Marc-Andre Vlasic, I remember people questioning at the time
Okay,
because he was not
that's
known at the time.
casuals.
He
That's
was not known at the time.
casuals. That is just pure. The streets don't. The kids don't know how good Marc-Andre? God, I'm an idiot. Marc-Andre Vlasic was at the time. He was the best defenseman in the game by far.
Yes.
People only
I
know him
didn't
now because he's
realize that then.
washed.
Yeah, I
People
didn't
only know
realize
him
that then.
now because he's been washed for years and is on a
Is
bad
he?
contract.
Oh yeah, I guess he's still playing.
Yeah, and in 2014, he was something else, man. So people could kiss my ass if they were criticizing that. And Dan Hamhuis, seventh defenseman, who gives a shit? It's like I didn't complain about Sanheim because he was supposed to be a seventh defenseman. But the only one who caused major controversy was Chris Kunitz because he played with Crosby, and then he didn't do anything all tournament, and then he scored the dagger goal in the gold medal game. So who really complained? This is their chance for the bottom six. Some of the players that were scrutinized a bit, Cirelli, Hagel. Jarvis isn't going to play, but I would say him. Bennett. Marner's been scrutinized. This is your moment. 2010, Toews scored. He was depth. Perry scored. He was kind of middle six, and then Crosby. 2014, Toews. And then it was Crosby again. And then Kunitz, depth. 2016 World Cup of Hockey, Brad Marchand scored a few goals. We need our depth to show up because we've only had one depth goal all tournaments and none from the defense.
Yep.
Cannot wait for tomorrow. Cannot wait.
In regards to the whole player adding situation, what's your stance on
You
what's going
know,
on? Because
the
so,
rules could have been better defined,
yeah, I
but we're
agree.
so far along at this point, you have to play by the rules you're given. That's the only L this tournament has taken. They should have been allowed bigger rosters in the first place. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking. 13 forwards and seven defensemen. Of course, someone's going to get injured.
I think they just wanted, because they realize it's also the All-Star break, that they have to give guys vacations. They don't want to bring guys
Sure.
who are not going to play.
Sure, but then you're one injury down. We lose Theodore in the first game, and then Makar is sick, and we're fucked.
They should have, what they probably should have done is have it 13 and 7, and then they had
A taxi squad or
like a
some crap?
taxi squad
Yeah.
with two players and a goalie at, let's say, on
Yeah.
each spot.
I mean, and Thomas Harley, who I think is great, I guarantee you there were players they would have taken over him if they weren't on vacation. He was just ready. He was just there. He was chilling. He wasn't in Mexico like Mackenzie Weegar was. I mean, you know. And now Hughes, he's not going to play because he's not medically cleared. But they were trying to get him in. Tage Thompson is on standby. He should have been on the team in the first place. I mean, it's silly rules. I know in the Olympics it's like 25-man rosters next year, so this isn't going to be a problem. But it's something the rules should have been more clear because it's been a too muddled the past couple of days.
For sure. I will say if Hughes was allowed to play, I
We'd be
don't
in
think I would have
big
had
trouble.
a we would have been in trouble, but I don't think I would have had a problem with it because yes, he is an injury replacement technically, but he was on the roster begin the
Yes.
tournament. So if
I
they
get
made
that.
an exception to let him play, I don't think it would have pissed me off. Unless he scored like the overtime winning goal,
Well, as a
then
Canada fan, I'm very relieved he isn't playing. Good Lord.
yes. I will say too, I've heard a lot of Americans being like, oh my God, we're gonna win tomorrow, and then it's our sport now.
Well, shut the fuck
Pump the
up. Good
brakes.
Lord. Not even close.
Pump the brakes. We have the history, yes. If you wanna call this generation yours, I will give it to you if you win tomorrow and you win the Olympics next year.
Sure.
Then you can then I can Then I can say you can have a realistic claim of saying this sport is like ours now. But until then, it's still ours. Calm down.
I mean, good Lord, look at the medals difference. look at all the players on teams. Like, these people are idiots. And I get to see the White House of all people tweeting out, USA dominates Canada. Okay, clearly you've never watched sport of hockey before because it was 2-1 with an empty netter. I mean, ridiculous. I just want them to beat the Americans so badly and preferably by a large margin so I don't have to sweat it out.
Score prediction for tomorrow?
4-2 USA.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not confident in Jordan Binnington.
I picked the States to win this tournament at the beginning of the year, but or beginning of the tournament, but Canada wins medal games. States win round robin games. So Canada is going to win 4-3 in overtime.
Who gets the golden goal?
Give me McKinnon.
Okay.
I don't want to say McDavid. I want to say McKinnon's going to follow in his idol's footsteps.
That'd be so cool.
And golden goal.
I can't wait.
Segue now. Holy shit. The NBA All-Star game got fucked by the NHL.
Didn't
Saturday.
Even watch a second of it.
Neither did I, but holy shit. So I hear that it starts off with Chris Paul and Wemby getting disqualified from the skills challenge. I don't know if you saw what they did.
No. First of all, it's a skills camp competition in the All-Star game. There should be zero disqualifications.
So they do the little pass or whatever. Then they have to dribble around, weave in and out, whatever. And then they get to the shooting part. Wemby and Chris Paul decided to cheat the system. And they just, instead of trying to shoot and make a shot, they just quickly grabbed each ball and tossed it. And then moved on to the next, grabbed each ball, tossed it,
no.
Went to the next, the corner thought, grabbed it, just tossed it. And then they cheated the system, got disqualified for it because they're just no, you can't do that. Come on, guys.
Yeah. That's, I mean,
so it's that's what a start. The 3-point
Chris Paul should know better.
The 3-point contest was kind of not great. I don't know. Wasn't that good.
You can't have one without Steph Curry.
Was Steph in it? No, he wasn't. And then you get to the dunk contest, and while it actually was all right, I guess, it's just nobody cares about these guys. Nobody cares about two rookies and a G Leaguer, and then whoever Andre Jackson is or whatever his name is.
Your marquee attraction can't be Mac McClung with his 5 games of NBA experience. Can't happen. And I think Mac White Flight McClung is great. I think it's hilarious that they bring him out once a year for the dunk competition. It's on the players, man. If they don't care, why should I?
And I don't know if you saw after, what was it, Jaw saying, I might have to do it next year.
Dry
and
hump.
Then Giannis was like, I might, if you do it, I'll do it. And then Jaw tweeted out, hey, Zach and AG, what's up? And they kind of were like, oh, I still got some stuff up my sleeve.
It's so...
This just happens every year. They're not going to do it next year.
It's so easy to say that. Because a year out, here's the thing. You know why one of them, they don't want to do it? None of them want to lose. They're all scared of losing. Aaron Gordon, I'll give you a pass. You've been screwed over a few times. Everybody else doesn't want to go because they don't want to lose. Why has LeBron James not done it? Because he's afraid of losing.
I was told, I was watching somebody on this. I think it was Draymond was saying LeBron hasn't, he's like LeBron's dunk package actually isn't, he's got a good vert, but his dunk package isn't that good. He's kind of like Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes had a really good vertical when he was a rookie or whatever in Golden State. And everyone wanted him to do it. He did it, but his dunk package is just not that good. So
LeBron James could do whatever he wants on the court. He's that skilled. He could learn a few cool dunks. I mean, come on. He doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want that on his resume.
At this point, he can't do it anymore. He's 40.
Sure. He's been in the league for 20 plus years. If he wanted to, he would. He doesn't want to because he doesn't want to lose. Mm-hmm. I've never seen any player, and this is fine. LeBron's earned it. Never seen any player so concerned with their legacy, with everything they do. And then I have to watch, or not watch, because I didn't watch. I have to see Kevin Hart.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And then, at the same time of this Wemby and Chris Paul shit going on, Canada and the U.S. are currently throwing haymakers for their countries.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy. The NBA, I've hardly watched any NBA this year, I'll admit. Part of it is because the Raptors suck. But part of it is the product's never been worse. I agree with the old heads who always disparage the game. I love Charles Barkley, but he shits on the game way too much. Too many threes. It's not entertaining.
I'm pretty sure that Canada-US game either did better than the skills comp or the game itself. I'm pretty sure it was the skills comp, but it drew more viewers in, which is
Good. I mean,
great for hockey.
yeah, it's fantastic. You know what? People are watching. There are people today who play because of the Crosby Golden Goal. There are Americans who grew up with TJ Soshi as their defining moments. We've heard all about the Miracle on Ice and the impact it had. Give me more of this because this is what it does. It grows the game. So many opportunities were missed by not going to those past two Olympics. But back to the All-Star game, I have to listen to Kevin Hart. If I'm watching the game, yeah, Kevin Hart's funny, but he's also probably 10 years past his prime at this point. At least his popularity prime. He does his shit with Dwayne Johnson, and that's cool, but that was 10 years ago. And I have to hear him blab and blab and blab nonstop. I'm not interested in this. If I want to watch Kevin Hart, I'll go look up his stand-up. I mean, come on. This isn't what I want. And then LeBron James, who, look, I have tons of respect for LeBron. I'm not a LeBron is a GOAT guy, but I still think he's great. I think he's a good basketball player and he's a good person, which is rare. Him going to the All-Star game and then last minute saying, yeah, I'm not going to play, is so incredibly weak.
Yes.
It's so weak. He just wanted the attention of being there. He wanted it purely for attention. So now Norman Powell, who's having an excellent season, is probably never going to get to go to an All-Star game now, doesn't get to go because LeBron wanted the attention. And yeah, you could say LeBron deserves it, and that's fine. There's no scenario where he should have been there.
You can still invite LeBron as an all-star. You just don't play.
LeBron can buy a fucking ticket for all I care. I mean, he just wanted the attention. That's why no one likes the All-Star game, because the players couldn't be bothered. They couldn't be bothered. Oh, my ankle's sore. He just dunked on Mark Williams tonight like it was nothing. Don't give me this, my ankle was sore. He didn't want to play.
And then Anthony Edwards backed out, I think, due to illness. He had a cold.
And then he was hanging out with Obama today. Bullshit. I mean, come on. If the
Just
players don't care, why should I?
ridiculous. The whole format was maybe the worst ever it's ever been. They've had some bad ideas,
Oh
and this
God,
one
I
was
mean, terrible.
horrible. What
Just
was
give
it?
me East
The
versus West.
Well, they went back to East versus West last year,
But
and
it
it
was
was terrible.
stupid. Well, because players don't try. I mean, it can work with East versus West. They just have to, like the NHL with their 3-on-3 tournament, they have to bribe the players to try because they give out a cash prize at the end. They have to bribe them, and then it's still mediocre at best.
They need to bribe them, or they need to honestly, I don't think it's they will, but they need to bring back home court in the finals to it.
Ugh, that was so hated when baseball did it. And it's stupid as well because there's no correlation on the standings between that game. God, I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't like All-Star games. I used to enjoy skills competitions, but the NBA's losing me here.
I did see one idea get thrown out. So you do the same format as this year. Obviously not with the whole I'll get into the game itself after, but you bring in three teams, the three drafted teams, whatever. Then you bring in the all snub team, it's called. All the guys who thought they should have been there. They didn't get selected though, but they get put on the snub team. If they go out and beat the team whoever they play first or whatever, they take the all-star right away from those guys.
Players will never agree to it.
Oh, I know they won't, but think about it, because the all-star appearances, that actually matters when it comes to contracts.
Oh, totally. And to players' egos.
Yes.
I
Well,
mean,
yeah.
All-star basketball is like the only one who does it properly, where they have like all-stars and shit. Like when you look at resumes, like say LeBron James is a 22-time all-star. Crosby's not a 22-time all-star. He's like a 7-time all-star. Part of that's because of injury and shit, but they actually do their all-star voting properly in the NBA. Can't bring myself to care about the current format. The players don't give a shit. I have to hear Draymond Green lecturing me on Inside the NBA about how it's all Adam Silver's fault. Man, it's your generation's fault. You guys have had everything handed to you this generation. You have player empowerments like you've never had before. Salaries are flipping insane. You have a washed-up Jimmy Butler making $50 million a year. You can do whatever you want. You have all the international basketball you want. More money than you could ever dreamed of. Sponsorship deals, I mean, and they still can't be bothered to try, and everything's the league's fault. Players need to look in the mirror here. That was a disgrace, the All-Star game. Not just the game, but the theatrics around it. LeBron showing up for the attention and deciding he's not going to play. Draymond ripping it as if as if he's the poster boy of good behavior. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? I mean, this is ridiculous. They should all be ashamed. Adam Silver, the players, the league, the executives, everybody. It's a joke. And the NBA, this has been the worst season of NBA basketball I've ever seen.
I'm scared for what the finals might do. If it's not a marquee matchup, they're screwed.
They've lost half of their viewership in the past 10 years. They've tried to bring it back with gimmick ideas like the NBA Cup and stuff like this. They just had the Olympics, which was such a colossal success for the game of basketball. Probably the best basketball at the Olympics we've seen since probably 2008. The Redeem Team. And people don't care.
Side note, have you watched that documentary yet?
The Redeem Team? Yeah, I have.
No. The one about this past Olympics that just came out on Netflix.
I haven't.
I need to
watch
on
Cobra
that.
Kai.
Oh my God, don't say that again, please.
Don't like it?
I never got into it. Apparently, it's just they get into fights for no reason.
You just need to get over the fact. You just need to get over yourself. Turn your brain off.
I'm
also,
good.
I still got to see Captain America.
I haven't done that yet. I'm probably going to see it this weekend.
Yeah. But at last point on the All-Star game for NBA for me, I've said it a few times. I'll say it again. If the players do not care, or at least do not pretend to care like the NHLers sometimes do, why should I? Why should I spend my time on, what was it, a Saturday or a Sunday doing this? Sunday. Why should I spend my time? Why should I sit through 17,000 commercials, most of which are stuff that I hate, like betting? Why should I spend my time when there's such a great alternative in the Four Nations?
Yep. Well, why? There was no Four Nations on the Sunday, but...
Okay, whatever. But or on Sunday, it was the SNL 50 Years, which I watched, which I thought was really cool.
Wasn't that Saturday? Or was that Saturday?
I don't know. Who gives a shit? The reruns were on. I mean, it was... Why would I care with this product? Adam Silver needs to do something fast because basketball is declining. Hockey's on the rise, man. You can criticize Bettman all you want. He's done a really good job the past few years.
Yeah, agreed. The actual game itself, I didn't watch, of course. I just have no desire to watch All-Star games. And I get, like, people are like, oh, they got to fix it. But, like, it's not made kind of for the average fan. It's made for young people to be enjoyed, like the kids, pretty much. That's pretty much what All-Star games are for.
The All-Star game is to make money.
Yes.
To sell a shit ton of sponsorships and put on a show for the kids.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
And it does that to somewhat an extent. It just, once you hit like the age like 15, you don't care about it anymore. Now, the game itself, I didn't watch. I heard that it was about a 3 or 3.5 hour time slot they had on TV. Apparently, yeah. They spent, I think it was 32 minutes of it playing actual basketball. 32!
Insane, insane.
Out insane. Of 3 hours? Like, what are we doing?
Well, because you have Kevin Hart fucking around, which nobody wants to see in the year 2025. Yeah.
They had the NBA on TNT tribute for Kenny, Shaq.
In the middle of the game, what are you thinking?
Yeah, and they're going to be back next year on like ESPN, aren't they?
I mean, Charles keeps saying he's not going to. I love Charles Barkley. He said he's going to retire about 8 times the past 3 years. Do it or not, man.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. Like, it's at the point with inside the NBA, they're getting shut down once a year, it feels like. Not worth it. And honestly, inside the NBA is really overrated.
No, it's not.
Shaq sucks. Shaq is one of the worst analysts I've ever seen.
Hush, hush. Shaq's not there for his basketball takes. He's there to be funny.
I don't even find him that funny.
They're,
I only find him funny.
Shut up.
There's two times where I find Shaq funny. When
Joseph,
he's crashing. Shut up. When he's crashing into a Christmas tree, and when he's yelling 4 rings at Chuck because Chuck has got under his skin.
Joseph, this might be your worst take. I'm sorry.
I just don't think it's as good as it used to be.
Isaac, okay, maybe that's a more fair assessment, but you can't say it's not that good. It's funny.
I don't think it's as good as people think it is.
What other like sports?
There isn't one, so don't bring it up. Yeah. Like maybe A-Rod and David Ortiz on MLB Network. That's probably as close as you can get.
There was another
or one. ESPN or whoever the hell broadcasts it. But NHL doesn't have it. The worst part of the NHL is sometimes the analysts. Sportsnet does a lot of great things. Their panel's a joke.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that thing. And then the Mr. Beast challenge also midway through the game.
Why are we promoting Mr. Beast? He does about one of every 10 things he does is great, and congrats to him for being a good person 1/10 of the time. Everything else he does is a grift. Why are we promoting him?
Yeah.
Give me the Rizzler. That's what I want to see.
But yeah, just absolute travesty of a failure. Just terrible. And then I'll quickly touch on the Pro Bowl too.
I've never watched a Pro Bowl.
I think I did early on, maybe when it was good still somewhat.
Yeah. The thing is with football is you can't go full out in games like that. Someone's going to get hurt.
They can tackle, I think, but they can't, you know, do it to that, like the extent of, you know, full out trying.
Yeah.
So, but like the Pro Bowl this year is, oh my God, it's terrible. Like, I don't know if you see all the skills things or whatever. And then like they play a game of tug of war. They have like the O linemen on a cart challenge. They were doing the catching competition for like the wide receivers and DBs. And at one point they made them put on these ginormous gloves that they had to catch a ball with. And it's like, what? What are we doing, guys?
I don't know. I mean, it's just a gimmick. I've never been an all-star game guy. I used to really love the NHL skills competition. Like 10, 11 years ago when it was in Ottawa that one year where Chara broke the record and it was him versus Shea Weber for hardest shot. I mean, just keep it simple. Fastest shot, fastest skater, hardest shot. Enough of these stupid gimmicks.
Honestly, last year's was good too, just not enough people, I guess.
Well, remember 2 years ago I was in Miami and I had to watch Mitch Marner come out in a Miami Vice costume, which has been off the air for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the stands were half empty because they were all at the concessions because they screwed up their timing. Like, that was terrible.
Yeah. I kind of like the one in Toronto last year, though.
Yeah, well, that was a fun time to watch hockey.
Other than Kucherov, but
that was a travesty.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's rare. Like, usually people, like, you know, you have the John Scott year, which is a ton of fun, which is probably the best All-Star game I've ever seen. But it's very rare you get a Kucherov where someone's not trying to that level, at least in hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just horrible, horrible failures from the NFL and NBA in terms of their All-Star games compared to what the NHL's was this year. Now, I know this isn't an every year thing. The Four Nations is likely going to be a one-off. Then you're probably going back to you'll have the Olympics next year.
Then the World Cup.
Then they'll go All-Star game.
Yeah.
Then they'll go to World Cup. And I think that's smart. You go All-Star game every 2 years and then best on best every 2 years.
Oh, yeah. You can't overdo it.
Yeah. McDavid was saying it's been so taxing on my body. Like,
yeah. Well, it's also mid-season.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wishes the World Cup, if they're going to do this every couple of years, was in September. I thought that was kind of
the players will not do it.
Yeah, I know. But that's the workaround around the taxing stuff. I liked it in September, even though I didn't like the tournament overall.
Yeah.
But they've nailed it. They finally got international best-on-best like we all want.
I'm curious to see, quickly before we wrap it up, I'm curious to see the numbers that tomorrow's game draws in. Because
tons.
I have heard like fantasy football accounts making parlays on tomorrow's game. Like, what the fuck? I didn't think these guys knew what hockey was.
We haven't had a geopolitics moment like this, Canada, USA, ever.
Fair enough. That also is going to help. And then
that's part of it. Garen, bragging rights here, man.
Yeah, Garen was trying to get Trump to come to the game. And
he's not going.
He's not.
It's in Boston. He'll get booed. They don't like him there.
Really?
Yep. It's Massachusetts, man. It's the most democratic state in the nation.
Oh, is it? Huh.
Yep. It's where the Kennedys are from. It's where Adam Kloss is from.
No Boston sports fan, sorry, to be really racist. So I could have sworn it could have been Republican.
No, every major city in the country outside of Oklahoma City is Democratic.
Well, yeah, Chicago, LA, I know.
Even Dallas is.
Really?
Yeah. But Massachusetts is the most left-leaning state in the country, outside of California.
And New York, maybe?
No, New York's a little more, it's shifting a bit.
Is Chicago left? Yep. Chicago's really
Illinois.
Left. Yeah, that's like their home base.
That's Obama, man. That's Obama country.
Yeah. I didn't know that about Massachusetts, though. But
It is. It's where the Kennedys are from. That's Democratic headquarters.
Interesting. Okay.
Where Mitt Romney's from, too, enough, funnily enough.
So I believe in total, combined Canada and USA, the game drew over 10 million for what?
The preliminary round?
For that U.S.-Canada game, yeah.
I don't know if it was that high.
I saw it was maybe. I saw it was like 5.6 for Canada and like 4.4 for the States.
Okay. I mean, so 10 million, you got to think it's in the 20s this time around.
Ooh, well, they do have to compete with the NBA though tomorrow. That's my only concern.
Maybe.
I think most people are going to choose to watch, especially seeing as what happened the last game. I would go maybe 15 is what
Okay.
I'm gonna all assume.
Sure.
But should be fun.
We all can't wait.
Yeah, I fuck.
I want them to win so badly. I just don't know if they have the goaltending.
Yeah, this one game, like I said, one game. I think I predicted beginning of the year, one game series. Who do you want? I want Hellebuck in my net. So
I'm hoping for the best. I'm looking forward to it.
and with that, we will probably wrap it up because I want to go to bed. I gotta edit this and then I go to bed. So next week we'll probably recap the Four Nations. Something's gonna pop up NHL wise because trade deadline's right around the corner as well. That's another thing. I guess we're skipping over Drew O'Connor's extension, but who can nah, that's pretty small
Little too
anyways.
much money, but really, with the cap going up, who really cares?
Yeah. Continue with the division predictions next week. Get back to the NBA playoff push, and maybe we start trying to predict. There'll be NFL news. Somebody's gonna get cut and stuff. Like Aaron Rodgers got cut. Like we forgot about that, but like, or he's not cut yet. But like,
He will be, which he should be. He's done.
well, no,
It's gonna
like
work. It's gonna work.
they said he's not bringing him back. Or was he a free agent at the end of the year?
I think
I
he has
forget.
like a team option or something along those
Yeah, I
lines. I mean,
forget.
he's not worth it. Not worth the drama.
But yeah, there'll be something for us to talk about NFL wise soon enough. Maybe we can start talking mock drafts a little bit. I don't know.
That'll be your domain. I have known nothing about this mock draft.
Yeah. Oh, great. I
You love mock drafts.
love me some mock
That's that
drafts.
was your Valentine, the first 20 years of your life.
Hey, shut up. Anyways, got this far. Appreciate you listening. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace out.
Farewell.